On Saturday, September 24th, 2011, the National Down Syndrome Society will kick off Down Syndrome Awareness Month and the Buddy Walk season with a video presentation in the heart of Times Square in New York City. The video features pictures of more than 200 individuals with Down syndrome from across the country and around the world. Visit buddywalk.org for more information and to submit a photo. All entries must be received by July 15th, 2011. And you are listening to Nightlight Stories.
Hello, and welcome to episode 35 of the Nightlight Stories podcast, recorded on June 24th, 2011. This podcast tells one original story each episode that will light up the imaginations of children of all ages, anytime, anywhere. I am your host and narrator, Miss Mal. The summer is in full swing at the Nightlight Stories household. We are excited for all the summery adventures we are going to have, such as escaping to the beach, visiting with family and friends, kicking back in the kiddie dinosaur pool, and of course, eating as many brightly colored popsicles as we can. Stay tuned after the story for details about how we can all share our summer activities together. As you listen to the story, consider the following. What is your favorite hobby or pastime? Birdseeds by Chris and Melissa Bouguet. Agnes pulled off her gardening gloves and wiped the sweat from her forehead. She looked up into the spring sky, sighed, and wondered if it was ever going to rain again. As if Mother Nature herself was playing a joke, a lone cloud shaped like an eagle passed in front of the hot sun. Agnes had lived in the cottage in the woods for just over 60 years now, and she couldn't remember a spring that had been as hot as this one. Not even 2 years ago, the spring of the great brush fire, had it been this hot. She stepped out of her garden, tiptoeing past the radishes, leaving slight footprints in the fresh soil between the rows. Her garden was a large rectangle, framed by a white picket fence. Some of the paint was beginning to peel off the posts, but Agnes had a plan to repaint the fence in the fall. It hadn't been painted since her husband had built it over 12 years ago, and it was in need of some attention. In truth, Agnes wondered if she even needed the fence at all anymore. Her husband had originally built it to keep the animals from feasting on the fruits and vegetables growing in the garden, but she hadn't seen an animal in the area since the fire. Agnes closed the gate to the garden and looked at the rest of her front yard. A vision of her three children formed as a memory took shape. She saw her oldest son running laps around the perimeter with his tight red curls bouncing up and down with each step. As the memory tore around the lone oak tree in the yard, her gaze shifted to the brown-haired boy who sat with his back against the trunk. Her youngest son had never been very active during the day, choosing to rest and read under that very tree. It seemed that every other day he had another book in his lap that he liked to study. Agnes thought about the many times she'd find him wide awake at night, huddled under his covers reading a book. Then a vision of a young girl, her only daughter, tumbled in front of her. Blonde hair flung like a whip as the girl flipped in the air and landed on her feet. Always the gymnast, her daughter spun and twirled her way back and forth across the lawn. The sweet memory of her children playing calmly in the yard changed in an instant when she saw a man with white hair peeking around the side of the cottage. Swoosh! Water erupted from the hose in the man's hand, sending all three kids scattering with screams of delight. Dad! All three yelled at once as Agnes's husband sprayed them all with the garden hose. "Get him!" they yelled before flocking to the man and tackling him to the ground. Agnes laughed at the memory of her family rolling around in the wet grass. All three kids were gone now, moved away with their own families. Her husband was gone too, though he lived on in her memories. "Oh, how he loved to make us laugh!" she thought to herself. Those times were simply magical. Agnes shuffled up the path toward the front door of her cottage. Once inside, she walked to the kitchen and poured herself a cool glass of lemonade. Her kids had liked to pour the lemons from the jug into the glasses and fish them out with their fingers to suck on them. Her husband liked to suck the lemon rinds into his mouth, cover his teeth, and then smile a big yellow smile, which would make all the kids laugh out loud. Agnes smiled her own smile, remembering the time her youngest son had spit the lemonade out his nose while watching his dad talk with a mouthful of lemon rind. Agnes finished off the last bit of her lemonade and said aloud, "Enough daydreaming. Here I am off in La La Land when there's a garden that needs tending." Agnes checked the list on the fridge and saw that she only had two items left for the day: plant carrots and water garden. Agnes reached into the cupboard that used to hold boxes of cereal when the kids had been young and pulled out a small wooden container. She remembered when her husband had given it to her on their 5th anniversary. He told her the 3 interlocking hearts carved on the lid were for each of the 3 children they were planning to have. Opening the box, Agnes thumbed through the packets of seeds that she kept inside. Beans, corn, sunflowers, peas, carrots. "There you are," Agnes said when she suddenly felt her nose tighten as if someone was tickling it with a feather. 1 second Agnes was standing in her kitchen looking at her packet of carrot seeds. The next she was in the middle of a horrible sneezing fit. "Achoo! Achoo! Achoo!" The box flew out of her hands. Agnes opened her watery eyes to see it hover, suspended in midair for an instant. She wished the box could sprout wings and take flight as she reached to grab it, but Agnes missed the box entirely. It crashed down on the hardwood floor in splinters. Agnes stood stunned for a moment. Angry at her clumsiness and saddened by the loss of such a precious gift, Agnes began to cry. With each breath, Agnes made a new wish. She wished she could have those last 5 seconds back. She wished the box wasn't broken. But most of all, she wished she didn't have to be alone in the house. If her husband was still alive, they'd be laughing about this silly accident. If her children were in the house, they'd have come running to see if she was okay. Sad and alone, Agnes sobbed on the kitchen floor. After a few moments, Agnes gathered her composure. She blinked the tears out of her eyes and surveyed the damage. The base of the box looked mostly intact, although 2 of the corners were loose. The lid, however, had completely come off the hinges. It was now in 2 pieces on the floor, mixed together with the packets of seeds. Agnes picked up the 2 pieces of the lid and tried to fit them back together. Placing them side by side, she noticed something shriveled and yellow sticking out from one of the pieces of the lid. Agnes pulled out a faded piece of paper that had been folded up to fit inside a small hidden compartment. Amazed and curious, Agnes turned it around in her hand. She realized that it wasn't just paper, but an envelope with something lumpy inside. Slowly and carefully, Agnes unfolded the paper. Gently, she ripped open the envelope and peered inside. Nestled in a piece of cotton were 4 small seeds, unlike any she had ever seen before. Agnes noticed how each one was a different color. One was mostly white with brown splotches, like melted chocolate covering its surface. One was pearl white, sparkling like freshly cleaned teeth. One was tan, or light brown, but shaped more conical than the other 2 its size. The final one was a buttery white, as if it wanted to be yellow, but couldn't quite manage the shift. This last seed was larger than the other 3 put together. Agnes inspected the packet for instructions, pulling the protective cotton bed out and shaking it upside down. But she didn't find any instructions on how to care for the seeds. All she found was another small piece of paper. On it, written in swirly, elegant script, were the words, "Seeds of Need." Forgetting about the broken box, Agnes stood up and walked out of her cottage, cradling the seeds in her hands. Her mind raced with questions. Where had these seeds come from? Did her husband put them in the box, or had they been in there when he bought it? If not her husband, then who put them in there? If it had been her husband, then why hadn't he ever told her about them? The beautiful handwriting on the piece of paper certainly wasn't her husband's handwriting. Why were four different seeds all kept in the same packet? If she planted them, would they grow in her soil? There was only one way to find out. Agnes pushed the gate of her garden open and surveyed the plot of land. She decided she could do without carrots, and since the ground was all set for planting, the back corner of the garden would be the best place. Using one hand, Agnes dug four small holes, each about 2 inches deep and 6 inches apart from each other. Then she placed one seed in each hole, planting the largest seed last, closest to the edge of the garden. As she spread dirt over the seeds, she contemplated marking them with flags, but ultimately decided there was no way she'd forget where she put each of these unique seeds. Over the next few days, Agnes made taking care of the curious seeds her top priority. Although she tended to the other plants growing in the garden and finished all of her chores, she found her mind wandering off, wondering what would sprout from her four seeds. During breaks at night, Agnes looked in her many gardening books trying to find pictures of the seeds, but she never found pictures or descriptions that matched any of the colors or markings. At the end of the week, Agnes saw the first seedlings pushing up out of the ground. By the end of the second week, the seedlings were sturdy sprouts that stretched toward the sky. Following a daily routine, Agnes watered her little sproutlings, mixed fresh plant food into their soil, and plucked any nearby weeds. She made sure they got plenty of sunlight, even cutting back a branch from a nearby tree. Agnes talked to the sprouts aloud, encouraging them to continue to grow and become stronger and sturdier. She had read once that talking to plants was scientifically proven to be beneficial and not just an old wives' tale. Agnes thought about building a tiny fence around her four special plants just in case any animals came wandering by for a snack, but something inside her told her that keeping the plants encapsulated just wasn't the right way to care for them. She decided instead to read a story aloud to the plants once a day, thinking the noise might be enough to keep any animals away that might have returned to the woods since the Great Fire. After caring for the plants for 3 weeks, Agnes started to notice that each of the sprouts definitely had unique tendencies. Agnes measured the sprouts with an old ruler twice a day, once in the morning and once before bed. The first seed she planted, the one with the brown splotches, grew in bursts. It would shoot up one day, then not grow at all for the next 3 days, then shoot up in size again. The second seed only seemed to grow at night. When Agnes did the evening measurement, the numbers always matched the number from the morning measurement, but each morning the measurement was always higher than the night before. The third sprout weaved and curved toward the sky. Unlike the other two, which grew straight toward the sun, the third sprout twisted around itself in curly cues. The final sprout, the one from the largest seed, was also the largest sprout to grow. It grew so thick and tall that Agnes wondered if she should even be calling it a sprout anymore. Its lush green leaves spread out like the wings of an albatross, soaking up the rays of the sun. On the morning of the first day of summer, 4 weeks after planting the seeds, Agnes awoke to find a new addition to each of the plants. The four plants had begun to bud. Despite their individual quirks, all four plants grew a single bud right out of the top. Agnes thought they looked like tiny upside-down umbrellas waiting to unfold. Agnes felt butterflies flitter around in her stomach. Upon seeing the buds, she squeed in anticipation. Questions flew around her head. What colors would they be? What would they smell like? How long would they live once they bloomed? When she thought of this last question, her excitement came to an abrupt halt, like a bird flying into a closed window. How long would the flowers last? She thought again. The thought made her feel a bit queasy inside. For the past month, she'd been happy. With her special plants to tend to, she hadn't felt alone once. But once they bloomed, how long would it be before the petals wilted, leaving her alone and lonely? She pushed the thought away, refusing to let those feelings ruin this moment. Agnes set up her reading chair in the garden next to her four special plants, flipped to the page with the bookmark, and let fly, reading passage after passage. Agnes stopped occasionally to sip some lemonade and to mist the buds with water to keep them moist in the summer heat. At each break, she took a moment to study the buds for movement, hoping to catch the instant they open up. And then, just as the sun was setting over the mountain, it happened. Four brief whistles sang in the air like the call of a roost of robins. Shocked at the unexpected sound, Agnes set her book down and peered at her four specials. All at once, the buds bloomed. The green leaves on the outside of the buds parted as if a tiny invisible hand were pulling down on tiny invisible zippers. Agnes's eyes grew as wide as her smile when she saw what was inside. Four birds lay nestled in the cradle of each of the flowers. The first was as red as a rose, a cardinal, and it leapt up into the sky. It tore off in a streak of red, zooming from tree to tree. The second bird, a brown owl, rolled its head, stretched its wings, and yawned a big yawn with its beak. It hopped down to land on Agnes's open book, tucked its head into its wing, and went to sleep in the seam. A golden flash made Agnes look back up. A gold finch, no bigger than a golf ball, spun around Agnes's head. It dived, twirled, and twisted in the air. Agnes giggled as it did a backflip followed by a figure eight. Something heavy pressed on Agnes's arm, forcing her to look down. There, touching feathers to skin, was a large gray dove. The dove was larger than any she had ever seen, and it stepped up to roost in the crook of her elbow. Delicately, Agnes picked it up and began petting its soft head. It cooed soothingly with each caress. In the years that followed, the birds never strayed very far from Agnes's cottage. On most days, they played in the yard, dashing around in circles, lounging on limbs, and gliding in the breeze, all except the dove, who rarely left Agnes's side. Agnes spent her remaining days caring for the birds, reminded of the memories of her loved ones. She never felt lonely again. We hope you enjoyed the story. We would like to send out bright birthday wishes to John D. of San Antonio, Texas, Carrie W. of Charlestown, Massachusetts, Sue H. of East Amherst, New York, Samantha R. of Bedford, Massachusetts, Gianna S. of Peabody, Massachusetts, Sandra D., Seth J., and two very special birthday wishes to our very own Mimi of Georgetown, Massachusetts, and Nana of Eden, New York. We hope your days sparkled. Summer is when families get to spend the most time together. It's an opportunity to laugh together, learn together, and make some lasting memories. That's why we here at the Nightlight Stories household are sharing an activity a day that you can do together as a family. We've already shared activities such as building a rain gauge, creating a bird's nest, and using patterns to make yummy fruit kebabs. You can find details to all these activities over at the Facebook page. If you do one of these activities, share with us by leaving a comment or a picture. We'd love to see your summer creations. One quick activity to get you started is to share your favorite Nightlight story with a friend or family member. Tell them about nightlightstories.net or show them how to subscribe on iTunes. Speaking of iTunes, moms and dads, aunts and uncles, grandmas and grandpas, we'd really appreciate it if you would leave a review on iTunes. The more positive reviews Nightlight Stories gets, the easier it becomes for other people to find it on iTunes. We would like to say a special thank you to Becky Switalski, who provided us with a bumper at the beginning of the story. On Saturday, September 24th, 2011, the National Down Syndrome Society will kick off Down Syndrome Awareness Month and Buddy Walk season in the heart of Times Square in New York with a video presentation featuring more than 200 individuals with Down Syndrome from across the country and around the world. For more information or to submit a photo, go to www.buddywalk.org. The deadline for submitting a photo is July 15th, 2011 at 11:59 p.m. Eastern Time. Before we end this episode, we'd like to answer a frequently asked question. One question Mr. Chris and I are asked over and over again is if we have Nightlight Stories t-shirts for sale. We're proud to announce that we recently launched a Nightlight Stories store where you can buy merchandise featuring the Nightlight Stories logo. You can check it out over at www.cafepress.com/nightlightstories. Of course, we have this link on the blog site as well at nightlightstories.net. If you have a moment, check it out to see if there is anything that strikes your fancy. Have a safe and happy summer, and as always, we look forward to the many stories we can share together.